Well, today, again, celebrating 39 years of God's glory, of His grace, and of His mercy, His blessings. Today, we celebrate, as Eric said, our founding pastor, who founded this church 39 years ago and said, I have a calling, and I have to do this. To the people that came before us, and they planted the seeds. To the people here today that are watering those seeds and weeding the garden. To those that come in the future that reap the benefit of the harvest. You see, we may not see all the harvest in our lifetime. But our job is to plant and to water and hopefully cultivate and harvest. I mentioned to our Wednesday night Bible study that I heard on the radio last week. They said we should be in one of two fields. The battlefield or the harvest field. We should be fighting for everything or we should be harvesting everything. And we should constantly be in one of those two fields. If we're not in the harvest field harvesting and reaping, we should be in the battlefield protecting and watching out for. Amen? Man, I just am so grateful for this church body. I'm so grateful for you all. Now, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And as you turn to Ephesians chapter 5, with every bit of energy you have today, celebrating 39 years of prayer of faith, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will... Lackluster. Unacceptable, church. I'm sorry. 39 years. I know we're tired, but man, we got to keep going. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... We must rejoice and be glad in it. It is a choice each and every day. Each and every day. We're talking about coming alive in 25. We're talking about trying to, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, wake up. We're trying to come alive and we're still in bed. And I said, a pastor friend I know said, oh, I wouldn't say things like that. That's kind of negative. Church, it's important that I tell you to wake up. You cannot be in a spiritual slumber, for the enemy will come and he will devour you in that slumber. Anyone seen the video recently of the guy with his foot hanging out the tent, taking a little nap, and a bear starts nibbling on his toes? The enemy will do that, and the enemy will not run away unless or until we wake up and fight him. So thrive in 25 also. We don't want to just come alive in 25. We want to thrive in 25. Both of these take work on our part, takes energy on our part. So we have to wake up. And when we wake up, well, as my dad used to say, my sister's here, she can vouch for it. Thank you for coming, Sarah, by the way. When you wake up, get up. And when you get up, do something. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice. That's what I'm going to do when I get up. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it, no matter what I'm going through, because I know He's there going through it with me. Amen? I love that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 33. I'll get on the right page even. Wives, and this isn't intentional, but wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Amen. I'm kidding, I got more. Husbands, it's your part now. Love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, I love that. However, let me just get on my handy dandy phone. I really like all of chapter 5, and so I wanted to read that to you. Gets a little complicated sometimes, and we're like, I don't fully understand it. So I'm going to read it in a way that maybe you can understand out of the Message Bible, and it won't be up there. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Hang with me, church. It's important, and listen to what I'm saying. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. And has your spouse ever said your love was extravagant? But that's how Christ loves us. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. I love the way that that is put. I was drawn to that when I read it. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip, those who follow Jesus have better uses for language than that. We should have better uses for all kinds of stuff than we do. Our time, the words that we speak. Don't talk dirty. Don't talk silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. By the way, not just November, time of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is our dialect. It becomes our dialect, our language, a language of thanksgiving. You can be sure that using people or religion or things just for what you can get out of them, the usual variations on idolatry, will get you nowhere, and certainly nowhere near the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God. Don't let yourselves get taken in by religious smooth talk. Uh-oh. God gets furious with people who are full of religious sales talk but want nothing to do with him. Don't even hang around people like that. People's actions and their language will tell you whether they have anything to do with God or just talk about him. You groped your way through that murk once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. So no more stumbling around. Get on with it. The good, the right, the true. These are the actions appropriate for daylight hours. Figure out what will please Christ and then do it. Don't waste your time on useless work, mere busy work, the barren pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the sham they are. It's a scandal when people waste their lives on things they must do in the darkness where no one else will see. Rip the cover off those frauds and see how attractive they look in the light of Christ. Yeesh. Getting a little scary, Adam. Getting a little thick in here. Wake up from your sleep. Climb out of your coffins. Christ will show you the light. Wake up, he says. He says you are dead. Climb out of your coffins. So watch your step. Use your head. Make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure you understand what the Master wants. Don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Drink the Spirit of God. Huge draughts of Him. Sing hymns instead of drinking songs. Don't know what those are, but we should be singing hymns and not drinking songs. Sing songs from your heart to Christ. Sing praises over everything. speak the name of Jesus over everyone. Any excuse for a song to God the Father in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ. Out of respect for Christ, be courteously reverent to one another. Wives, understand and support your husband in ways that show your support for Christ. That husbands provide leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church. Not by domineering, but by cherishing. So just as the church submits to Christ as he exercises such leadership, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. Husbands, go all out in your love for your wives, exactly as Christ did for the church. A love marked by giving, not getting. Making note, just a minute. Okay. A love marked by giving, not getting. Sorry. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he does and says is designed to bring the best out of her, dressing her in dazzling white silk, radiant with holiness. And that is how husbands ought to love their wives. They're really doing themselves a favor since they're already one in marriage. No one abuses his own body, does he? No, he feeds and he pampers it. That's how Christ treats us, the church, since we are a part of his body. And this is why a man leaves his father and mother and cherishes his wife. No longer two, they become one flesh. This is a huge mystery, and I don't pretend to understand it all. What is clearest to me is the way Christ treats the church, and this provides a good picture of how each husband is to treat his wife, loving himself and loving her, and how each wife is to honor her husband. Now, I know that was a lot to listen to, but it's in a manner that we can understand a little easier than some versions we have out there. And they make it pretty clear on that. And it talks about Christ as the bridegroom. And I thought, as we celebrate 39 years of prayer of faith, it's important that our lives line up. It's important that our lives line up to what God wants us to be and do. We have Christ, the bridegroom, who has chosen us. He has selected us. He has sought us out. He has picked us, if you will, just like many of us have sought out or chosen or selected our spouse. He loves us in an extravagant manner. But, we always got to have our but. But, as in many marriages, they don't work out. We grew apart from one another. We grew tired of one another. Well, I left the church. I had some irreconcilable differences that we just couldn't come to terms on. Oh, so you were trying to call the shots in that relationship with Christ. You didn't want him to have authority over your life. You didn't want to submit to him. Now, you gave your life to Christ at one point. You submitted to him and his authority. But somewhere along the line, that wasn't good enough. Well, I played in that relationship for a long time. You know, I showed up on Sundays and I went out the rest of the week doing my own thing. And then I'd come back on Sundays. Oh, so you woke up in the morning, you went and had an affair on your spouse, and then you returned home that night so that you could feel good about yourself. Christ says that won't work for me. I don't need you showing up on Sunday to feel good about yourself. I need you to show up on Sunday so that you can worship me. Remember, Thanksgiving is our dialect. We all have our ups and downs, but we've made a decision And when we accepted Christ, a choice, a commitment, just as in a relationship to each other, here we did it to Christ, the bridegroom. He's asking for our loyalty, our submission, our obedience. Anyone in here a country music fan? Four, five, six. Oh, the number's growing. They're afraid to proclaim it, though, because it kind of got some of these out there. Mm-hmm. Clint Black, back in 1999, wrote a song. And you're going to love it. I'm going to sing it here if I can. And it's called When I Said I Do. I'm just kidding. But I'm going to read you the lyrics. Okay? Now, to be honest with you, I sung this song a lot in my car the last couple weeks. Last several weeks. And I was perfect pitch. And it starts out and it says, these times are troubled and these times are good. And they're always going to be. They rise and they fall. And we take them all the way we should. Together, you and me, forsaking them all. Nothing's ever going to change the way that I feel. The way it is the way that it was when I said I do. I meant that I will, till the end of all time, be faithful and true, devoted to you. That's what I had in mind when I said I do. Now, it sounds a little bit like a Dr. Seuss rhyme, but I love that song. And that's what Christ is looking for from us. There's going to be troubled times, and there's going to be good times. They rise and they fall. But when you stick together, you get through them all. But then in the end, that's the way that it was. That's the way that it is when I said I do. I meant that I will till the end of all time. Isn't that the commitment we made to Christ? I read an obituary the other day. I know, I like reading those things. And this lady was an organist for 55 years in her church. And she stopped playing about 5 years before her death when she could no longer play. I meant that I will, till the end of all time, be faithful and true, God. Devoted to you, God. That's what I had in mind, God, when I said I do. God, He's looking for faithful followers. You know, Matthew 5:37 says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Commit to it. Stay in the fight. You know, we've had, by the way, who all met their spouse here in church? Raise your hand if you met your spouse in church. All right. They go, no, not us. Dave and Joyce recently got married. Josh and Nikki. And, well, the younger couples that recently got married, we talk about respecting one another. And when tough times come, and how important that marriage vow is to get through it all and to get through the tough times. You know, these people sometimes are misled. Except Jesus, life will be great. Well, it will be great. However, that doesn't mean that there won't be trials and struggles and difficult times. There will be things that come against you. The enemy will present himself time and time and time again. A righteous man will fall 7 times. But each time he gets up. He gets up and he says, I'm going to do it again. I'm going to fight this fight. I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to proclaim this is a day which the Lord has made. And I will rejoice in it. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Let's rejoice in it. Let's do this. Come on. He says, get up there and fight. Several weeks ago, we talked about praising before the battle. It's coming. We better learn how to praise as much as we learn how to fight. Sometimes all we know how to do is fight. And sometimes all we know how to do is praise, and we don't know how to get in the fight. And either one of those can pull us away from our relationship with Christ. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. And I know it seems silly to quote a country song, but I'm telling you, it was a powerful thing as I listened to it over and over and pictured that relationship with Christ. He says, I am the bridegroom, and you are the bride. And we both must treat each other right and reverently and with respect. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation 19. Uh-oh, he's going to Revelation. What's going on? You don't get there enough. But Revelation chapter 19. Verse 6 through 9. And it says, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of the mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Our life here, in our day in and day out, in our struggles, in our victories, in our celebrations, are all in preparation for the marriage supper of the Lamb. When God calls the bride to the table for the celebration, for the marriage of the church and the believers. You said earlier, the church isn't the building. We are the church. The church is the bride. Christ is the bridegroom. And He calls us. But I love this. It says, the bride, us faithful believers of the church body, we have made ourselves ready. Not if we didn't come alive in 25. We haven't made ourselves ready. Now, today is the time to prepare ourselves for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, I should have got ready long ago, but I didn't. His word says He came that we may have life and that we have it more abundantly. It's not just come alive in 25, but it's thrive in 25 so that we may have life more abundantly. He came as light into our dark world. And to add to that light, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, guiding us where to go, protecting us from stumbling and tripping around through this life with no knowledge and understanding and wisdom for how He wants us to live. He overcame the grave so that we can overcome anything we're facing. Okay? Does each person in here hear that and receive that? He overcame the grave so that we can overcome anything we are facing. Anything. We are overcomers. We are a new creation. We are Christ's representative, His ambassador. We are the aroma of Christ. Don't foul that out with the stench of sin. We are the aroma of Christ. And when we play around the rest of the week and come here Sunday, just like a spouse that's running around during the day and returning to the bed at night, cheating on his spouse, he says, that's no good. You're not coming alive in 25 with those actions. As we look forward to the future of prayer of faith, our future as a church, God calls us to prepare ourselves and make ourselves ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray today as we celebrate 39 years of prayer of faith, we thank you. We thank you for our founding pastor. We thank you for his commitment and his dedication to starting this church. The transition that started 13 years ago for Pastor Eric and myself to continue leading this church. We thank you for those that came in the past that planted the seeds and that we're here today to water the seeds. God, so a future generation that we've already seen growing up in this church can reap the benefits of the harvest from our work. God, as we prepare for the marriage supper of the Lamb, God, that we would make ready ourselves today. Maybe we've slacked. Maybe we've run around. We just play a role showing up on Sundays. Lord, help us not to be in spiritual adultery, but return us to the right relationship with Christ. God, today as we prepare for our anniversary meal, I pray over that meal, the hands that have prepared the food, that have prepared the church. I pray today, Lord, that you would bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies. And bless the fellowship to the nourishment of our souls, God. The necessary things for us to gather together and break bread and fellowship and pray as we've done today. Study your word. God, that you would bless this day. That you would bless our future. God, that we continue working towards a future, building a kingdom for future generations, our children, and our children's children. Children. God, I pray mostly today, though, that your love is felt by each and every person in this room today. That they receive your love, your welcoming and warm arms and embrace today. Whatever we're going through, Lord, that you make a way for us.